Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 13 of season 5. It's called The Masterpiece Society. Directed by Weinrich Kolbe, teleplay goes to Adam Belanoff and Michael Piller. The story goes to James Caan and Adam Belanoff. Aired back on February 10th, 1992. In this episode, while the crew of the Enterprise saves an isolated genetically engineered society from immediate destruction, the cultural contamination resulting from their interaction may still ultimately doom the colony. Dan and Sean are here to talk about this one. Right after this break, we're going to go deep on the Masterpiece Society.
Enterprise, I am Aaron Connor.
Mr. Connor, we were unaware that there were human colonies in this system.
I don't want to be rude, Captain, but we don't wish to interact with outsiders. I'm only responding because of your warning.
The fragment will have serious effects on your planet within 6 days.
Yes, I know. We have been tracking it. But our biosphere is constructed to withstand quakes of 8.7 on the Richter scale.
Mr. Data, the fragment has a density of 100 billion kilograms per cubic centimeter. As a result, when it passes Moab 4, it will cause tectonic shifts well beyond 8.7 on the Richter scale.
I'm afraid we're going to have to evacuate your people.
Evacuate? That is not possible. There must be an alternative.
Well, we will gladly explore the possibility of it with you, Mr. Connor. Would you like to come aboard to discuss it?
Our environment is sealed. No one can get in or out.
We are capable of matter-energy transport.
Matter-energy?
We can take you directly through the structure.
Really? That's quite remarkable.
May we arrange for your transport?
No, I must remain here. But under the circumstances, I will permit a small delegation from your ship inside the biosphere. If only to see this matter-energy transportation you speak of.
Very good. Commander Riker and the away team will be with you shortly.
Masterpiece Society. I don't know what you guys think. If you had to pick one word to describe this episode, what would it be? I'm going to go first, and this is what I was thinking. For some weird reason, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking communism. And on reflection, I'm a little bit off, maybe more than a little bit off, but I wanted to know what you guys were thinking.
If I had to assign it a way of living or whatever, it might be closest to fascism. But I didn't have any of those words in my mind watching it. Sean?
I thought of genetics.
Yeah.
Which is obvious.
Yeah, it's eugenics, I think. I was surprised by how long it took for me to come to eugenics. And I had to look up, because I didn't realize, I didn't know if what they were doing is eugenics. And I'm still not sure if what this colony was doing is eugenics. The definition of eugenics is controlling genetic variables, usually through usually through controlling reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, the reproductive rights thing doesn't seem to be happening here. Is that fair to say?
The reproductive rights don't seem to be happening here. Well, they don't really get into it a lot, what their like society believes. I mean, we're left to believe that they're mostly similar to our society. So,
but they don't.
They're human on a colony where they genetically manipulate everything in their biosphere to continue on living on an inhospitable world.
This is
definitely a Hitler aspect to this, because he was trying to do this. And what we also find abhorrent about that was he's controlling reproductive rights, which is obviously bad.
There's none of that.
The outcome is the same. You're tweaking it with the computer program, and you're basically printing people out so that you use less resources.
I think my weird thing is that altering your genetics to be ideal for your situation doesn't seem inherently wrong to me. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's the case that this episode is posing to the audience, I think.
Right. Controlling reproduction is wrong to me. Like, that seems fundamentally immoral. But that doesn't seem to be what this colony is doing.
To tie it to what Geordi says in the episode, where if they, you know, they genetically screen for blindness. And so he says to the other female scientist, if, you know, I had been born on your planet, or I would never have been born on your planet, they would have genetically screened, you know, the cells that I was and seen that, you know, I was going to be born blind, and then just aborted those cells. Mm-hmm. So he never would have been brought to term. So it is, you know, I think that's eugenics. Yeah.
Or fixed it or tweaked it. So Geordi would still live, but he would have eyesight, which is less important.
Right.
Yes. I think that's interesting. So I'm going to shift gears slightly here just because I'm going to say I hate.
So back to rape.
Back to rape. Anyway, I wish there was more rape in this episode. I hate this episode. To me, this episode, it feels like a season one or two episode. And I always confuse it with Up the Long Ladder, which is the one with the Irish episode, the Space Irish, because in that episode, they had created a genetic clone colony. Which is, it feels kind of similar to what they do here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But that's right. This one is funny because me and Clay had argued about, in previous episodes, we always laugh that it doesn't seem like the Prime Directive applies to human colonies that have not made contact with the Federation. And Riker outright comes out and says that at the end of this episode.
Yep.
Which makes it makes zero sense to me why that would
be. Because why?
Because Riker's argument would be on Earth, right? Like as we're currently now, there are tribes that don't have contact with civilization. He's saying it's okay because they're humans that we can just go in and fuck up their shit. Which is weird.
I think it's so funny that you hate this episode. I was thinking to myself, I made a couple of notes and I said, you know, this is TNG doing what TNG does best. It's asking the audience a big picture philosophical question. Is eugenics, right, or is genetic manipulation a good or a bad thing? How, you know, and I think it's a complicated thing, but they pose the argument with pros and cons on both sides, and they're, you know, presenting this philosophical thing, unlike Hitler's Germany or any other examples of this. This society, you know, on this television show is happy with their lot in life. They're happy being you know, genetically screened and predestined to become a leader, a judge, a piano player, an artist, a poet. And they seem okay with that. Like nobody in that society is pushing back against it. And so,
well, let me,
except for the woman from Pretty Woman.
Yes, she's got a big problem.
She's the one that starts to stray.
Is she from Pretty Woman?
Yeah, she's the one that Julia Roberts went back to, and she's like, big mistake.
Oh!
And she was also in Spaceballs when she keeps saluting President Scroob to get him to reveal his penis, thus visually raping him.
Full circle. So let me, I think on one level, there's a huge narrative problem here in terms of what they're trying to do. The best and the brightest that these guys have genetically altered themselves to are somehow 100 years behind Federation.
Yep.
They should have been more advanced. Tana, you just said that you think that there are pros and cons to both. I think the show gives no pros to what this colony has done.
Let's go. So they make the argument inside the episode that, you know, because the female scientist is really upset. She's like, I'm supposed to be the greatest mind of my generation. And I find out when she goes up to the Enterprise that there's all this technology in the world that she hasn't even thought of. And Geordi, I think, says something like, I guess, you know, invention or necessity is truly the mother of invention. And you guys don't need for anything. So, you know.
Yes.
Pro quo, ergo, you don't invent things or whatever. And so I think that they're having conversations like that inside the actual show that addresses them those concerns.
It's funny you say that line, because that line to me is the most sort of the failure of communism was summed up in that line. It's kind of like as long as communist citizens aren't allowed to go out and see how the West is prospering, things are okay here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of making that argument too. I think it was a big narrative mistake. I think they should have been more advanced and not had sickness or disease. They say they handle blindness and stuff, but it's like Geordi can see. You know, he's not really blind.
They say something. The leader at some point says something about their health and well-being, that everything is in balance and that they don't get sick and that there are very few surprises.
Yep.
That he really is called upon to deal with, because they, you know, they've eliminated disease or they've eliminated suffering. And they're also on a planet that probably doesn't have the kind of resources that one might need if they're going to invent new technology, you know, like for us, polonium and radium, you know, you discover new substances from the earth and it leads to scientific breakthroughs, and they're not able to leave their little biosphere. So maybe in that way, they're inhibited by what their scientific minds can achieve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it isn't necessarily their colony.
I agree with you, Wes, about the, I guess I agree with both of you. I agree that they should have warp technology then, if they can weed out blindness. Like, right. They seem to be more advanced in some ways. And technology, you don't just get good with one thing. You don't create a helicopter that fires rocks. You, like, with right, helicopters yeah. usually comes bullets, and everything, right. You know, the rising tide lifts all ships. And there definitely was some scientific massive errors. But I couldn't tell if this was doing the best.
Sean, you were rudely interrupted by Skype. You were talking about the helicopters with rocks.
Yeah, like technology, you don't just get good at rockets and then get bad and not upgrade other things around it. Like, things come linked together. So it doesn't make sense that you'd be able to be better at curing blindness, but you would not develop warp.
Right.
And so what I didn't understand was this, when the writer's going off of what we knew at the time, or in the stuff that we're talking about now that we can easily point out, is this because we have the benefit of the last 25 years of research and sociology and all that? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to judge this fairly from 1991.
Here's my perspective, right? Their writing, their cast exists in what we would probably consider to be as close to a utopian ideal as possible, right?
Right.
So I don't understand the colonists having, all they seem to want to do is genetically manipulate each other, which I've never seen that actually be unallowed in the Federation. It doesn't make sense to me if it is. Like, you know, maybe as you were saying, Sean, back then, like, maybe in the early 90s, sort of like, you know, genetic manipulation of food seems weird. Mm-hmm. Some people still think it's weird, but, you know, there's no food now that we eat that's not genetically manipulated.
Right.
So them...
Except for Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, except for Pop-Tarts, which are, you know, ironclad.
Oh, natural.
But there's no... So maybe there is a little bit of datedness, but at the same time, they're writing on a show that is an ideal situation. That makes no mm-hmm. sense when they're contrasting it with this masterpiece society.
Yeah, right. You guys? Yeah, go on.
Well, I mean, I'll turn it back to you. I just wanted to ask, like, what is Picard and crew so upset about with this group? Why are they so dismissive of this lifestyle?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that question, but it seems to me that the things that you guys are having quibbles about were not anywhere on my radar when I watched this show. I thought our conversation was going to be very sort of philosophical, like, there's pros to this way and there's pros to that way, and, you know, they find themselves, the Enterprise finds themselves in an impossible situation, torn between having done good and caused bad, and how do they undo that? And it brings in the Prime Directive in a really interesting way, and it's a human society, so that complicates it. And I thought that this was an episode of Star Trek doing what Star Trek does best, asking these big sort of questions. And I've learned that I can't look too critically at Star Trek, at any of these episodes, because they just don't hold up after all this time to the kind of scrutiny that I can put them under, you know? And so I'm trying to do right by the show and, you know, and really sort of engage with what it's asking me to engage with.
Sure. I'll kick it back to you guys. I'm just going to say this. I think you can criticize this episode because this episode, to me, delivers no narrative justification for why they're being so dismissive of them. There's no, it's if they were doing what seems to be the definition of eugenics, which is limiting reproduction,
yep.
I would think the show would be like, oh, that is clearly wrong. They're not even doing that. All they seem to be doing is creating a society where they've genetically gotten rid of disease. That seems to be the thing that they've done. And Picard is as angry as I've ever seen him about this for some reason.
But he's upset because their involvement. I watched this episode twice because I was like, oh, you know, we're going to have a juicy discussion here. He's upset because they had to interfere with this colony. The idea is that they're the one colony from 100 years ago. It's a human colony and they've lived there and they have never interacted with outsiders. But there's this giant thing that's going to go crush their world and destroy them and destroy their colony. And so the Enterprise has to interfere to save their colony from being destroyed. And by being exposed, having these people who live in this biosphere exposed to the wider world of the Enterprise and its advanced technology, some of them want to now leave their genetic utopia. And I think I got the impression that even their environment was bioengineered.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
assuming
right
that they're recycling, I don't know, the oxygen and carbon dioxide and like everything. It's a very
the bugs have like purpose, so it's down to that level.
Yeah. And so they've really literally created a utopic society from the ground up. Everything, you know, in this web has a purpose and knows its purpose and is fine with it until the Enterprise shows up and offers them a different future, a possibility of tomorrow. And so now the Enterprise has a responsibility to take the people that want to leave away, except it's going to throw off the balance of this biosphere. And instead of it, I thought that they missed an opportunity to make it a science argument and say, you know, so we've got all these genetic, you know, building blocks. And if some of those blocks leave, we're not going to be able to fill in those holes. And we're going to die because we don't have the raw materials that we need. Instead, they make the argument that their society will devolve into chaos and suffering and that it'll be like, I don't know, drive-by shootings. Like, I don't think that's the thing that would happen to your society. I think it would have to be like building block, you know, bio matter leaving.
Yes.
But in any case, like the idea is, is that they save them, but now, you know, the society as they understood it is going to end because of the influence of saving them. And I think that that's a really interesting triangle.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
I agree with US on the science stuff really bugging me, but it doesn't take me out. I kind of look past all that stuff to see what the narrative's trying to tell me. And that's where I kind of am down with what Tana is saying. I do think that this is sort of Star Trek at its best, asking those big questions, you know?
Yeah.
And I do wish that, because the Star Trek has had experience with genetic manipulation before, with Khan, with some episodes with like genetically altered soldiers. So Picard has historically, through training, a mistrust of genetic alterations.
Sure.
That we know that to be true, but he doesn't mention that. If he had dropped a line of like, oh, I don't know, just genetic manipulation, you know, it didn't go well with Khan, it didn't go well with that guy that ran rampant on my ship once. And if he had like a mentioned his history of it, then it would justify his mistrust of it. But they don't do that.
No, they don't. I think I agree with you guys that the, you know, Star Trek at its best is sort of talking about big ideas. I've made the joke before, Star Trek is like, hey, if you're trying to introduce someone to Star Trek, it's like, hey, do you want to listen to this show that talks about really great ideas in sort of a half-assed way? I think that this one doesn't even get too half-assed. Like, I hear what you guys are saying. I still fundamentally do not understand what the conflict here is, because the conflict, it seems to me what you're saying is that this is a Prime Directive issue, which they barely bring up. They never have a problem with interacting
with this. They end on it. So they don't address it throughout, but it isn't clear until the very end when, by saving them, they've doomed them. There's that great exchange between between Worf and Captain Picard, and Worf says, but we saved them, you know? And Picard says, did we? You know, and there's that's a great Star Trek moment. And then they talk about the Prime Directive, and Riker asks, should we not have saved them?
Or, you know? Yeah, Riker says it's not even a Prime Directive thing. It's like, so, I mean, they shit on their own point, kind of. I don't
I think there are two competing philosophies here. And the thing that makes it work is that these people are utopic, right? Like they're actually living in a sheltered but blissful society. And now they're threatening to upend it by having some of them leave and change the, you know, physical makeup of the world that they live in.
Yeah, it's a utopia on a very shaky foundation.
Yeah, and it falls apart at the end for me. The thing I hated about this episode was the shaming that they give to the group of people that wants to leave. And the guy, you know, the leader saying it was very much like being excommunicated from your family and your family saying, but we'll always love you despite these shitty decisions you're making. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was very, it had that tone to it, which I thought was incorrect. If you're going to make that argument, it has to be about the genetics. It has to be about building blocks and science. It can't be about emotionally manipulating the people who want to leave your colony into staying.
Well,
who
wanna, that, you to know, me, leave that was like family. The Amish. I thought of the Amish with that part because you do have like the final blowout weekend, and then you choose if you really want to be Amish or not.
Right.
And if you say no, you can never come back in. But I don't know if they like emotionally shame you, but you could argue there's a whole vast emotional shaming your whole life in a way.
This could be a whole like Amish take, right? Like they have their own enclave. It's a very, you know, isolated society, a very family sort of feel to
they're
it.
Technologically behind.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Really bad, really, really bad fashion.
Yes.
Maybe this is TNG's take on the Amish.
It was I
feel I would
like
see that movie.
Yeah. Star Trek plowing again or whatever it would be. I think that it's I you mentioned the costuming. Everything about it just it made it feel I confuse it very much with Up the Long Ladder, which had to deal with, like you were saying, Tana, the fact that they didn't have the genetics to continue this way of life was like the point of that one.
Yep.
And I think in that episode we were criticizing it, but at least at that point they were stealing genetic material, which is like an argument that you could have, like, you don't have the rights to this, like this is mine, and you know, as an individual, blah 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 blah. I don't like
just falls flat for you, huh?
Well, there's nothing that it pulls through here that's interesting. Like, they've built this utopia, which is less of a utopia than the Federation at this point, as far as I'm concerned. It falls apart if someone were to get like gored by a bull or something. Like, they're apparently their society falls apart because they can't deal with missing a person.
They say that Deanna Troi and the guy are talking, and he says, you know, she says that you have to be prepared for disasters, accidental deaths, you know, things like that. And he goes, it happens much less than you think, but yeah, it sometimes does happen. You know, we have built in some sort of fail safes. Like they're allowed to, or they have the ability to compensate for small deaths, but not for 23 people. I think it's 23 at the end that want to leave.
Yeah, I thought 23 it was even less. I thought it was like 15. So, I mean, so their margin of error is like razor thin. They can have like two people.
There can't be any car accidents on the...
Someone has to survive. They can't have a... Like, if someone falls off a ladder, it's okay. But if they fall off the ladder onto someone else, that's terrible. That's like a tragedy in their mind.
Then everyone is dead or jeopardized.
The bugs are upset.
Like I was saying, it falls apart under scrutiny. For me, it was the bigger idea, the idea that, you know, this colony would be destroyed if Picard and the Enterprise did not, you know, push that core matter, whatever it was, the thing that was caroming towards the planet, if they didn't push it off course, then the colony is dead and everyone inside it. But by working together to save the colony, they've now changed the colony so it will never be the same. And in fact, it might fall apart at the seams. The guy says that they're going to devolve into chaos. So, which is, I think, problematic. Like, that's not how I would have dealt with it. You're not going to start having shootings and, I don't know, roving bands of genetic, I don't know, gangs. Like, it's not because five people left. Like, that's not going to happen.
Is the episode arguing that if they had got hit by the stellar core, that's a better ending than what they did? Yeah, right. Yeah. If like, what's the win? Well, there's no win-win.
Right.
This is lose-lose. Like, so what's the point of this narrative? I don't understand.
Oh. And at the end there, so it transitions instead of, was it right or wrong to save the colony? The leader says, you know, it was right. We didn't have an option. We had to save the colony. And this was the only way that it could happen. Our scientists had the good idea, but the, you know, the Enterprise had the way of pulling it off. So we had to work together, you know, to make this happen. And we did. And now we saved the colony. But here's this new problem. If these people leave, if the Enterprise refuses to take them, then we'll be able to exist happily. You know, they'll want to leave eventually, but, you know, we can try to convince them to stay or delay it or whatever. Or the Enterprise can agree to take them away if they want to go, you know, to a starbase or something.
Yep.
And so it becomes, will you, you know, Jean-Luc Picard, agree or not agree to take these people away? And that becomes the big question at the end.
They have the ability to erase memories. I mean, they could erase these people's memories and just drop them off on a new planet with their clothes and their piano and just have them go on like nothing ever happened.
They said Deanna Troi had that thing or the guy's like Humpty Dumpty or something, all the King's men, they talk about. Because she's like, couldn't you just move to a new planet? You know, take everybody with you and go set up shop on a new planet. And he's like, Humpty Dumpty. You know, we'll never be able to put it back together. All the king's horses and all the king's men. So I just...
But you couldn't stop blindness. You can't fix an egg.
it's a right? totally different thing. So let me
scrutinize it, guys. It falls apart under scrutiny.
Well, one more thing I wanted to mention. So, Troi, I got really sick and tired of her. Every time there's someone on the show who's interested in her, she's totally open to it. Like, other than the last episode.
I think that's annoying. It's also... I thought that the narrative thread of her falling in love with this leader adds nothing to this episode.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
And it's messed up. Like, the treatment, her character treatment is always, like, I always want it to be so great, and it's always so blah. It's so blasé. Like, she apologizes for her sexuality, for being a sexual creature or desiring somebody.
I agree with you there. Sorry to interrupt. I totally agree with you. That scene with Picard... is the worst thing ever. It's totally unnecessary.
You don't need to apologize because you brown chicken, brown cow, that leader guy. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And her initial reaction anytime she has sexual feelings for anyone is an apology. And I think that's so...
Well, the show tried to...
sigh-worthy.
What the show tried to do is they're like... You know, Deanna's like, oh, I had this relationship... and I shouldn't have done that. It's like, you know, a terrible thing. And Picard's like, well, we'll get past it somehow. And I'm like,
right?
Nothing has changed. Her relationship added zero in terms of anything to what the Picard has to deal with.
How many alien races does Riker bang?
Right.
Like, he is fucking everyone. Like, every planet he goes to.
Though.
He never apologizes. He hugs them. He's a serial non-apologist. Yeah, and he's like, Captain, there's something I need to tell you. I'm ashamed of my sexuality. That is something we only see for Deanna. So, and I think I'm trying to be generous with the show, and I do love it very much, but there are some stuff where I'm watching it, you know, from where I sit today, and I'm just like, ugh, this is disappointing.
No, you have to look past Deanna. I said this from the beginning.
Yep.
If you want a female character to go to in TNG, you got to go to the Doctor, I feel, or you can go to Whoopi Goldberg or to Ensign Ro later on, or you know, there's some other visiting cast members like Worf's wife. A lot of the Klingon gals are very empowered, which is cool.
I loved the Klingon gals.
It's terrible. Yeah.
No,
I like how sexist the Klingons are, but the women give it right back to them, so it makes it okay.
The women, I think I talked with Clay. The women in Klingon society seem to be the aggressors more than the men are, which is an interesting.
Right.
It makes sense to me. The Troi thing is just there was no point to the storyline. Like her relationship had no impact on what the decision was. So it's like, what's the point of this? Data could have fallen in love with that guy, and it would have made just as much sense.
Troi's shortcomings, I'm blaming Marina Sirtis too. I'm actually going to go after that. It's her fault. She's interviewed as saying she never pushed enough. And then recently I found out she's had a boob job, but she regrets doing it, but she won't have a boob enhanced. I mean, like, this chick clearly does not know what she wants her entire life.
That's not fair at all, and I love her, and I will defend her to the end of time. I think
she comes off as a little bit of, hindsight's 20/20. is what I'd say to her. Like, yeah, it's very easy to criticize things. Like, after you come out of it, be like, oh, I was treated unfairly. It's like, maybe you were, but, you know.
She, I like it when she takes a more, when she becomes an officer, when she gets her pips. Like, I love those episodes, and she remains one of my favorite characters. But the character was never handled in a way that I would so love to see it, her handled. And I think, you know, coming off of the episode, the last episode, Violations, which was partly a Deanna Troi episode that she featured in. And then to go into this, it's just one sort of misstep or bungling to another, you know, and I was totally cool with her getting with the leader, you know, like that's great, you know, be a person that is interested in people and acts on it. But it was all this apology and shame about it after, lapse of judgment. You're not the leader of those people, you're a counselor. If anybody had a lapse in judgment, it would have been that man. But
it would be a lapse in judgment if she had any impact on what was happening, you know what I mean? So it's yeah. one or the other. I agree right. with you, because there's nothing there.
I think that they introduced this, Wes, you had said it doesn't add anything. I think what I suspect they were trying to add when Deanna's saying goodbye to him forever, you know, after they spent the night together and she wakes up playing the piano.
Yes.
Because that's what people do. she says to him, you know, I could so easily fall in love with you, but there's no place for me in your society. What would your people say to including half Betazoid DNA into your gene pool? And I think that might have been Star Trek trying to say something about mixed races, you know, like we don't mix races, and sort of that you know, genetics, eugenics.
Yeah, it was the black guy who was the most anti mixing with the new people.
I know, which is so funny, because I was like, this is the whitest population. If you are all mixing your genes together, some of you wouldn't be this glaringly white. Yeah, like, there can't just be one black guy.
What's his story?
I don't. He's the judge. He was designed to be a judge. I don't understand any.
Like, some of you super white people would be a little caramel colored, maybe, or
that's
you know,
true.
Like,
oh, yeah.
might the see some of his genetic makeup in some of y'all. Yeah, as
the
well.
the perfect white society is all I was basically seeing. So they threw him in there, but yeah, they needed like sort of a darker skin, like somewhere in the middle.
Nobody else, no other people of color were anywhere in this episode. And but I think that's why they have Deanna Troi tell him, or have that relationship to say, you know, you guys don't mix races. You don't mix. How would it be if we added Beta Z to your, you know, precious society?
Right. And how is it not an upside? You gain telepathy. I don't know. Like, I don't understand what his problem would be. I don't know. I would have been more interested in the episode if that was the argument. If they consider themselves genetically superior, but they don't really consider themselves to be that way.
Go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
They kind of have that awkward thing. He's like, we're a higher evolution. It's like, yeah, you're not diseased. Like, I understand that's an advantage, but you're not. There's nothing else better. So
and you guys aren't blind, but it's the blind guy. Like, Geordi really hits it, you know, he hits that note a little bit hard.
I have to say, the way that they tie the visor into being a solution makes zero fucking sense. And they only did it because they were like, we can have the blind guy solve the problem. I think that's
exactly why they did it.
Oh, it was so stupid. I was trying to figure it too. He's like, wait a minute, my visor, which lets me see, can push a star a distance. Yep. It's like, all right, well, good. Anyway, guys, I think we're done talking about this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to play an audio clip. Michonne and Tana are going to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and ratings for the Masterpiece Society.
A few generations.
We're not willing to stay here a few generations.
All right. Give me 6 months. Just wait 6 months before you leave.
What will that accomplish?
It's true that our presence here has had an unintended influence on your society. But it's done, and there is no way to undo it. But feelings are running very high. Perhaps it's not such a bad idea that you should take adequate time to weigh carefully the consequences of what you're about to do. We are prepared to return in 6 months.
In other words, we are being asked to stay here for 6 months while they pressure us to change our minds.
In 5 days, you've seen only the most superficial evidence of what life is like outside this biosphere.
Would you ever choose to live aboard a ship in a bottle, Captain? You are in command of a starship. You live to explore the unknown. We ask for that same privilege.
Masterpiece Society. It's another episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm going to go off early here and say, or I'll go first, I guess, and say this is a 1 out of 5 for me. I really don't like this episode. It's super boring. It has no understanding of what it's arguing about. So why should I care what this episode is trying to say? There is no give and take here. I would have preferred someone being dead wrong about something, but I can't see anyone being wrong or anyone having any shades of gray in whatever this episode is talking about. It reminds me heavily of the moralizing of the early seasons, where humanity was always just better than everybody else, and the narrative can't support that argument here. So what do you guys think? One of you two. Tana, why don't you go first?
I cannot figure out how you're going to react to any particular show, Wes. Like you, I don't have whatever your algorithm is. I do not understand it. This is a solid episode for me. I think it does what TNG does best. And ask big philosophical questions, things that don't have easy answers and are things that I find myself thinking about later on, you know. And so I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I wouldn't show it to Kirsten because it is super boring and the outfits are really dated and super terrible. But I think it does what I want a Star Trek episode to do. So 4 out of 5.
Sure. Sean?
The science doesn't make sense, but I think the narrative, what they were trying to talk about, worked for me. I think what really solidified it was Picard's reaction at the end.
Yeah.
No one agrees if they did the right thing or not. On paper, they followed their order. They followed their guidelines, and that should be enough. Picard basically saying, "Is it enough? Like, aren't they destroyed?" And it's an episode with no ending, and that's just how life is. Yep. And I do appreciate that because I think Picard sticks the landing. I'm going to go with 3, a high 3.
High 3. Nice. Interesting. 1, 3, 4. Out of 5. Very interesting to me. I did enjoy it. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to make a Deanna Troi joke. Oh. I'm not going to make it though.
I appreciate
belonged in the last podcast.
I appreciated the ending. I do agree that it's nice when they leave things sort of open-ended. Although I don't, my read of the episode is that nothing bad, like, it's not catastrophic what happened to these people. Like, they could all leave and go to a different place. I needed maybe more definitively to see the society falling apart or something. Yeah. Maybe that would have helped me in the long term, but I didn't get that. So it feels weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks again, guys, for talking about
the Masterpiece Society. It was wonderful. We had a good conversation. Guys, if you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, rating review helps get the show out there. Thank you very much. Leave a comment, leave a review. I'll read it on the next podcast when it pops up. I'm going to be back with Clay with Conundrum after this one. TNG steps out of the darkness that is this mid-ridge of episodes in season 5. And we go into Conundrum, which is an excellent episode.
Is that the Ensign Row episode?
She is in that one, but it's the one where they all forget who they are and they're told that they're at war. I started watching that one.
I'm excited. I haven't finished it. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm at like the midpoint where it's super exciting, and I'm like, this is a good Star Trek episode.
So. That is a good Star Trek episode.
I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys again, and I will see you later.